Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. The show is Mason Cosby, and today I'm joined by Alex Goodwin, who is the Director of Demand Gen at Fingerprint. Alex, thank you so much for joining me today. I am incredibly stoked to dig into this with you today because you actually got like an ABM pilot program off the ground in 3 or 4 months, had so much success that like you're starting to build out the version 2, and it sounds like things are going super, super well. So I always love to talk to people that are early in their ABM program development at certain companies to talk through like, how'd you get the buy-in quickly? How'd you actually structure it so you could build some early momentum? And then how are you continuing to iterate in the program? So I'm just stoked to dig into it. You're still like, if I'm not mistaken, like first 6 months, right?
Yeah, we're pretty early. We did some sort of like testing. We did a one to a few or like use case segmented ABM historically that we built up, realized like some of the flaws, the gaps, the inadequacies. And we really wanted to do like a true one-to-one ABM motion, right? Like actually create marketing that speaks to each individual account versus just do good marketing in a more broad context. It's been a challenging process, but I think there's been a lot of early successes, and I'm confident that we can keep scaling as we invest more time, more effort, and more dollars into the program.
Let's go ahead and start with, as you are going to walk through the program, can you just give us an overview of like, how did you think through program structure to go after? What did you guys start to actually think through from an overview perspective?
Yeah, I think from the start, it's important to center on the problem. Historically, Fingerprint has been a PLG company. We are founded based on an open source library for device identification, and that kind of developed into a PLG product, as I mentioned. And at the point we're at with our growth now, really the next stage is conquering enterprise, right? And so when you start to think about enterprise and scaling towards some of these very large target accounts, the tactics, the initiatives, the campaigns have to become more nuanced, more targeted, and speak directly to some of their challenges, which could be very disparate and specific. That was the issue that we were trying to solve. And one-to-one ABM really does address many of those difficulties, right? You can be very targeted. You can create content that speaks to a range of different stakeholders within one specific account. You can show them only specific things. So that was the ethos for the program. As far as the structure, when I thought about the accounts that we were going after, we prioritized based on our historical analysis of our ICP. So we looked at where we had historically seen the most revenue generated, where we closed the most business, where we'd seen higher client retention. What are the industries that are most highly represented there? What are the use cases that sort of align with that? We then worked backwards to build out a segmentation. So there was a couple of different ways that we segmented, and given that it's one-to-one, we have a lot of flexibility in adding as many segments as we want. So we started with historical engagement, right? So with the V1 of the program, I wanted to keep it as simple as possible. So I just did sort of a true-false, right? So we had a cold group and a warm group. The cold group was just any account within the target account list that had never previously been on the website or engaged with our sales team. So we are pretty confident they didn't have any awareness of Fingerprint, and we needed to start with not just product awareness, but category awareness, right? Our specific solution that we sell, like device intelligence, there is some awareness of it in the market more broadly, but it's not the most popular or used tool. So we really had to start from a foundational perspective. And then the warm group was based on accounts that had some previous engagement with us. So maybe they'd replied to a couple outbound emails, maybe they'd been on our website, downloaded some content, some sort of inbound lead historically. And then we started to build out, like, what does the messaging look like for each of these different groups? And then try and identify the data needs we have to segment them further, to drive them further into the pipeline and really identify like what success looks like.
I always love the first place of looking being, all right, how much revenue, how long they stay, and really looking at it from a profitability lens. It is not something that I personally have been doing until probably the past 2 years, because I got more P&L exposure. I was like, oh, like big dollars doesn't always mean like big wins. Sometimes our like really big customers are horrible to service, which means they're not profitable at all. So I really love that framing.
Yeah, I'm lucky to have such a great RevOps team that we're able to do a lot of that foundational work and help keep us in the right direction. And I think also when you come from that lens, it's much easier to get sales buy-in, right? You're not saying we should go in this direction because we have this hypothesis. You're saying we need to go in this direction because we've proven that getting these types of companies, these types of clients is not profitable for us.
And then the other thing is just segmentation based on engagement. I am surprised by how many companies just constantly for their ABM programs are pulling a completely cold list out of a data ownership platform saying like, this is our new target account list this quarter with no further segmentation around like, are they aware that we exist? And then they're surprised by the end of the quarter when there's not that many accounts that are entered into the pipeline. So again, it sounds like if I were to boil down your segmentation approach and how you got buy-in, it was like high profit, already engaged, and bucketed it, obviously some other buckets of not engaged, but to get buy-in, it sounds like that's how you really went about it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think initially it helped us to have that kind of framing because then I was able to communicate, hey, with this cold group, we need to be more long-term minded, right? We want to initiate outreach. We want to prioritize these accounts, but let's like put them on the back burner for now, right? Each rep has 30 different accounts that they're prioritizing. So looking in at that audience and segmenting between the two groups, let's prioritize working the accounts that are warm already, right? The accounts that we know have some awareness, we're going to continue servicing them with ads that are more focused towards deeper funnel activities, right? Product discovery, even some offers in some cases, and then have them target those with the cold accounts. Let's give them a little bit more time to warm and mature. And I think taking that very simple approach at the first stage made it really simple for me in terms of building out the program and also explaining the segmentation. It wasn't confusing. There weren't a ton of rules, but it also showed us like the deficiencies in the program and where we needed to add more support. And so as we've scaled towards like our second phase and our V2 of the program, we then built out a more complex segmentation. And we're not really thinking of this as like a funnel, right? We don't think every account has to pass through every single stage, but we're just trying to make sure that we're using the right tactics, the right messages at the right time. So we went from that cold and warm segmentation to a 4-stage segmentation. So we have the first stage, which you could consider still cold. At that stage, we're now focused more around highlighting our value drivers. So what does Fingerprint do? At a very high level, if you had to do an elevator pitch, what is it? How can it provide value? Driving folks to just discover more about us, learn about the product, that kind of thing. Beyond that, we then start segmenting into a use case model, right? So we're now pivoting the message to be more centered around the sales hypothesis that we have. We've worked with each of our reps to build out what's the most salient use case for each of these accounts. How are they interpreting it? There's a million different ways to think about each of our use cases and what the pain points are. So we really focused on aligning the messaging there. And then as we get deeper into the funnel, we're then trying to focus more on validation, right? So really building out the fact that we have the capabilities to solve their specific challenges and their needs, tying in some social proof from other similar companies we've worked with, which is a lot easier when you have this kind of nuanced niche approach, because you pretty much already know this company is going to be in this set of industries. And so you can make sure you're pulling out case studies that tie in really closely. And then it becomes a lot easier to build that out and scale it. And then at the bottom level, the one area that we realized when looking at our accounts was that there were several where we already had existing opportunities. And when we're looking at some of these accounts, they're very large, right? Think about global multinational corporations that could have tons of different departments and decision makers. And so when we look at a company, take Amazon, for example, there's 50 teams that we could sell into, right? And in a lot of cases, those teams aren't talking to each other because they're either geographically segmented or their functional area is completely different. And so we realized that there was a huge opportunity for us to continue serving campaigns to folks that accounts that were already in existing opportunities and start multi-threading, then try and build into like different use cases, different teams, and just get a greater level of saturation within the org. And I think that's been like one of the best changes from my side. And I'm really confident that's going to help us to continue to scale.
Two big things I want to call out. One, we have often talked about this idea of the account progression model where you have specific stages. It sounds like you mapped your programs of, do they know what Fingerprint is, as an awareness stage program to just get people to know that you exist and like why they would ever want to consider working with you. So it sounds like you just mapped your content and your channels in your messaging to like, where is the buyer currently in their journey? So like super smart, what we literally recommend for all of our clients. So, and then the second component is, I think it's always a huge miss. People like don't do ABM in the pipeline, because we talk about sales and marketing alignment. And what that often turns into for ABM programs is like sales takes on more work, but it's also like marketing, seeing it not just to pipeline creation, but also like closed one and then ideally actually expanded long term, but it's for another day. So I love to hear the inclusion of, we specifically built ABM programs to multi-thread the account. And I'm sure you can resonate with this. I've shared the story of, I've had 300 sales conversations in the past year. Every single one of those had a CFO or a board involved. I've only spoken to three CFOs. So like sales can't always speak to the full decision committee, but marketing can. So like, I love the like fact that you started to work on that. So it, one big thing that I want to dig into is, when we were prepping for this, you mentioned that you built version one in a month or two. I'm curious, is because people think about ABM as like this big loft. It's going to take 6 months to get the program launched and in market, but you did in like a month or two. So I'm curious for you, like, what did that launch functionally look like to actually get something in market and start proving out some wins?
Yeah, I'll be honest, it was not easy. It was definitely a challenge. And I think your business name speaks well to the approach, which was, it was very scrappy, right? I think a lot of times, like when we think about ABM, at least historically, right, when you talk to like the Six Senses of the world, or like some of these like really big ABM providers, the sort of motion is inherently complex. And you're centered on building consensus and managing alignment between like multiple teams and ensuring that each account goes on the right journey and all of this stuff, right? There's a lot of complexity. For sure, like there's value in some of that complexity. I don't think that should all be ignored, but ultimately ABM is just a different tactic to approach an audience, right? And so it can be as simple or as complex as you like. And so when I started building out the program, I really centered on, how can I do this, right? How can me as an individual, with the resources that I have, the time constraints, the need to focus on other things as well, get this to market? The first thing I identified was start small. So I went through the list of the 200 target accounts. I picked out the top 20 and I spoke to the team. I said, hey, we're going to do a pilot. We're going to pick out the top 20 accounts. We're going to prioritize these. This is not like a start be all end all. We're going to scale up as we can, but we want to identify like where we can start to get lift immediately and prove the value in this. Beyond that, I made the actual like campaign structure relatively simple. So I mentioned this a little earlier, but only having two specific segments made it way easier for me to actually like build out the messaging, the creative, and then get everything into market, right? I don't have to make 600 different ads. I can just make 10 different ads. So it makes it a lot simpler. The third thing was doing the personalization in a very simple and repeatable way. So I mentioned earlier, like having an account plan, that was something we got to as part of the V2 process, but we've historically always like stored like use case and some initial notes about the accounts in Salesforce. So it was pretty easy for me to just go through and start to build out a very simple personalization map. What do we know about the account? What's the hypothesized use case? Can we add all of this into the messaging? So it's really simple to build out landing page messaging and add messaging based on that existing materials. And then as far as like actually building out the landing pages, I worked with my design team to build templates in HubSpot. So what I did was create a template for each use case. And then I just went through the list of 20 accounts and I just duplicated each one for each account, did small personalized changes, right? So things like putting the company name in the copy, obviously everyone's going to do that. And then changing out the first paragraph, because from my perspective, when you land on a landing page, you need to find something that resonates with you. That's why you stay. That's why you keep scrolling. That's why you engage. So making that part really clear and highlighting the value there was critical. And then secondly, I've said like 10 things, but additionally then is adding like nice touches wherever possible, right? So I think one of the hallmarks of like really effective ABM is the idea that they see you, right? I see you, I hear you, I understand your problems, I can speak to them, but not just like from a solution perspective, but also from an experience perspective. We had the reps put together these like short videos, essentially just introducing themselves. Hey, I'm X rep, I work at Fingerprint, I'm representing this account. here's how I can solve your problems, like 30, 40 seconds, embedded those in the landing page to add some additional personalization. And then I jumped off of that initial personalization and had the reps do a quick demo overview. So these are things like they're already doing, right? They're making demo videos when they're prospecting. So I had them like put together short videos. We then also used that in the ads as well. So for me, that's free real estate, right? I'm not putting together the creative there. We don't have to spend any design time on it. Really simple for us to then just resize it, throw it into LinkedIn ads. So essentially just doing what you can, trying to make the nice touches happen wherever possible, and then keeping the overall structure really simple. It was everything that I did on the framework side. From the reporting side, I was pretty lucky in that I mentioned like we'd done some previous experiments with a use case segmented ABM. So we had some idea of like how we would typically track ABM. We had a couple of top line metrics, which was like account engagement. Has the account reached our ABM stage 3, or otherwise known as like a marketing qualified account? So it's like some combination of like website engagement, other first party data that we collect, and that's when we're qualifying the account. And then the second was like pipeline from the accounts, from the enrolled accounts. So we tracked just the accounts that we enrolled, and then we can compare them against the other unenrolled accounts, and we can see the relative lift of conversion rate from the account reaching stage 3 to SQO. And then that gave us clear principles of like where we should focus and determine success. And I think that made it really easy for us to have a clear idea of what the pilot program needed to look like. And then after we went through that first pilot, I was able to do a really clear write-up. We got every single account onto the website. We had a bunch of them reach stage 3. We had inbound leads. The sales team really liked the process and the experience, and they were using it in their prospecting. So we built value in so many different places. It was then really easy to go back to folks in the leadership team and say, hey, I need more capacity to work on this. I need more budget to work on this. Let's scale it up and see what happens. And that's just what's happened. We've just kept iterating and got to the point where we're at now.
Love the two big things. One of my first ABM programs was literally going into HubSpot's CMS and cloning pages and making nuances and personalized videos for every account. And I did that every quarter for 40 accounts. So it's actually not that crazy difficult. It's just tedious and it's time consuming. But like I cranked out a one-to-one campaign every quarter to 40 to 50 accounts in a week. And I didn't do anything else that week, but like I did it. And like, again, I just don't think people think about that because they're like, well, how do I scale it to the 200? And I like that you scaled it down to let's do this and like see how it goes before we scale this to 200 or 300 or 400, how many? So I really like that approach. And then the other thing is, it sounds like you were sharing the story. One, I think the time frame which you communicated results was helpful because it wasn't 6 months and they're doing a check on the ABM program, but it was, hey, we've been doing this for 4 to 6 weeks and we already have these accounts that are like on these pages and these were one-to-one pages. Sales was already involved. It actually got a lot of movement and traction and we're seeing more conversations start. So like, that's what we did after 4 weeks of intentional and intensive work. I think we should do more of this because it was a 4 week time frame. I think it's easier to communicate, for lack of a word, what some people might view as like a vanity metric of like, account engagement on the website. Well, it's like, well, the accounts weren't engaged 4 weeks ago, and now they have specifically seen something that is curated for them, and they're responding to our salespeople. So it may not be a closed one deal yet, but it sure is moving in the right direction. I think these are all early signs. Thank you for like walking through the time frame for which you wanted to actually communicate those results back, because I do think too many people, they'd say, let me let it bake for 3 months and see how it goes and then report back. And it's a lot different when after 4 to 6 weeks, if you're seeing account engagement versus 12 weeks and you still are only seeing an account engagement. So
I think you, like, to your point, like you have to be really diligent and aware of who your customer is. As someone that's running an ABM program, like your customer is to some extent the sales team and to another extent, it's the CFO. And you have to keep both of those groups on side, right? And I think the regular communication is essential, and like the early wins like really help. And not in every case are you going to find those, right? But showing the progress is really important. Here's what I achieved by doing X, I think is meaningful, even if to your point, like the result, the metrics are not that important. But I think you can scale up the metrics as you progress the program, right? We're not just measuring like website engagement now, right? We're looking at that conversion rate from stage 3 to opportunity. We're looking at the pipeline generated within the enrolled cohort versus the unenrolled. We're looking at like inbound and sign up conversions from this campaign. That's progressed, but you can progress the metrics as you progress and scale the campaign. I think you need to take an experimental lens, like when you start, because ultimately you just don't know what you don't know. And these sorts of campaigns are going to be very different for every single company, every single industry audience, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but I think everybody should try to start with some kind of a quick win, because otherwise you'll lose sales buy-in pretty quick.
For sure.
I know that there's not always like the easiest quick win of all time, but that's why I always tell people, like, start with a closed loss program. Like, just start with people that were already ICP fit, that have already come through your sales process, that said no for some reason, and overcome that objection, and just get like 20% back in the pipeline. If you can get 20% of the target back in the pipeline through a closed loss program, sales will be like, this is freaking sick. How do we do more of this? And it's an ABM program that's at the awareness stage is more of this. And it's just gonna take a little bit longer, but it'll still, like, I think that
I agree. I think the thing that saved me, because probably that was like maybe an oversight on my part, was that I set myself up with a really difficult challenge and going after like a cold audience essentially. But the thing that saved me was we did a ton of prep on the ICP stuff, right? Like, our account selection was very good. So as a result, like, we saw a higher level of resonance. But to your point, like, any third party signal or like previous engagement is going to help a lot. I really like the closed loss program. I think it's a great starting point and maybe something I could have tried in an alternative.
You're moving into version two. So version two might be a closed loss program. But Alex, I just super appreciate the time. Last question for you would just really simply be, as you're thinking through anything else you wish you had done a little bit differently as you were getting started? Like, what were some of the things that you would leave as some parting wisdom for someone that's now a few months into it that is able to get the ability to double down into it?
You have to like speculate to accumulate, right? But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be prepared for the success of your program. I think one area where I wish I could have approached this differently was be a bit more proactive with what does the next step of the program look like? What are the required resources? What additional components will I need from the sales team to keep this program moving and scaling? The one thing I found is that like the initial buy-in was really high, and definitely I think the sales team are all really on board with the campaign we're running now, but it becomes difficult to continue asking for more things as you progress. So when we started, the account plans that we were requesting was just existing information. We were asking for one or two videos for a couple of accounts. Now I'm asking for 12 videos. Now I'm asking for a full page document account plan and really nuanced details about each account. So I think being proactive and like setting the framework for what the program will look like as it scales and the requirements at each different stage would be really helpful. I think also beyond that, the measurement component is definitely something that it took us a long time to figure out and align on. So I think before you start any program, work with your results team, work with your sales team, your CFO, and really identify like what success looks like and align on what you talked about earlier, which is those quick wins, those metrics. How are we measuring success in the first month, the first quarter, the first year, and really ensure that everyone is on board and can measure up to that. Yeah, I think that those are the kind of key learnings I could consolidate.
I really love the call out on some of the things that, again, we would do a little bit differently the next time we start, because as you think through the reasons ABM programs fail, one of them is measurement. Like, it's one of the top five reasons, because we just don't know if we're winning or losing. So I appreciate the call out there. And you've referenced this RevOps team quite a few times. And like, one of the most unsung heroes of successful ABM programs are great RevOps teams that help around targeting and measurement. So trust me, on our team, we've hired quite a few in the RevOps to make sure we can operationalize programs effectively. So I love that. And then the other component is just, it's really funny from ITSMA, but there are two that are tied to sales. So number one reason an ABM program fails is getting sales bought in. The second reason is keeping up with sales demands. So like, it's really funny because like, it's hard to get them bought in, but once they're in, they're like, all right, we're doing only ABM, and like they're all in. So yeah, I think forecasting, this is going to be a lot of work on both sides, but it's the right work to be doing. I think it's something that is really helpful for a lot of people to think through moving forward. So Alex, super appreciate you walking through that. If people want to find out more about you, where would you point them?
Yeah, check out my LinkedIn. That's the main place where I'm at. I would say also probably a great audience to promote this, but we're currently hiring for an ABM manager at Fingerprint. So if you want to come and work with me on some of these programs that we talked about today, we'd love to have you.
I love it. Again, Alex, thanks so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.